a type of literature. It is a type of literature. Can you help me? The letter to the Galatians, is it a historical book? Is it a psalm? Is it poetical literature? Is it a description of a geography like travel? Or is it maybe, what kind of literature are we reading here? Anyone? Like, is it a letter? Thank you. It's a letter. The type of literature that we're looking at in the book of Galatians is a letter. A letter, or today we might write email, is from someone to someone. This is not difficult questions, people. So, who is the letter to the Galatians from? Thank you. We just read the first chapter, and it said, Paul, an apostle, Galatians 1:1. And when we had a letter, so they didn't have emails in the first century church, so it would be a letter written on some form of paper that would be written from someone. And that letter would be carried, right? So we are now in a first century church, and I have come to your church, and I'm going to read the letter of the Galatians to you. Are you ready, Galatians? Paul, an apostle. Wait a minute. Can you hear something outside? Hey, shh, gotta be quiet. I heard some Roman soldiers. Hold on. Shh, everybody, really quiet. Okay. I think they've passed. Wait. Okay. I'm going to be really quiet because we don't want anyone to hear us. Paul, this is the most attention I've ever gotten at SIC. Brilliant. Paul, an apostle. Not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Who sent Paul? Did he come in his own strength? He is making it very clear to the Galatians, I'm not here on my own journey. I am sent from him. Why is it important for him to start establishing that from verse 1? Interesting thought. I write to you with my own hand. That's what he said in chapter 6. Why is it so important to him to say that he is the one that's writing with his own hand? Is somebody questioning him here? 2, the church, churches. Sorry, the typo. Churches. There were several churches in Galatia. So this letter would be taken to the next church. They would gather in a safe place. They would bring it up and they would read it. Who were the people in this church? What does the book tell us? When you look at any scripture in the Word of God, remember what kind of literature you're looking at. Remember, who were the first people to hear this or read this? Because what it meant to them is very different from what it might mean today. Sometimes it's the same, but it's very important to be aware. Who were the Galatians? Who was in this church? Some of you might have read the book, some of you might not have read the book. So I'm going to help you a little bit. And what I'm doing today is very basic. But I'm using the book of Galatians for information. If you want more information, the next very simple step would be to go to the book of Acts, because there the historical travel of Paul's journeys are described. But what we know from the book is some of them were new converts. It says, I am astonished. Is that like a really calm, collected, like, I'm astonished. Is that astonished? I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel so quickly. There is an urgency here in this book, and there is a real engaged person writing this book. You wouldn't use I'm astonished. If you're, I'm so astonished that you're so quickly leaving this gospel. Can you hear the pulse of Paul? Does he have a pulse of 53 when he's writing this letter? His pulse is getting up. And that's why I love Paul, because he's more like me. I love that he's one of the most effective leaders, and he has a high pulse, and he's passionate, and he's saying, you guys, listen up. Sorry, I'm getting carried away. Then I'm going to present a new word that for some people are kind of a touchy word, but in this book it's pivotal, and it's circumcision. Why is it a big deal? It's a big deal in this book because it's a picture of the Jewish customs, of the law. In the Israelites were given a law, and they say, you follow this. Okay, so the word and the discussion about circumcision is about following the law in this book. And so that means that some in this church were not circumcised, and some were. That means if you were circumcised, you're Jewish, and if you're not circumcised, you're most likely Gentile, or you were Gentile. They had those two categories at that time. I know I'm making it very simple for some of you scholars in here, but track with me, okay? Where are we in the world? Love geography. So we see some beautiful nations that we know. Some might have been to Crete or Cyprus this summer. But can you see Galatia, the region of Galatia on the map in green, dark green? And there are some discussions about Paul's missionary journeys, but we will stick to this one for keeping it very simple today. That he traveled, the purple is the second missionary journey. He started in Antioch, went to Tarsus, went to Derbe, went to Lystra, went to Iconium, and those are in Galatia. And then you see that he went on to another Antioch in Pisidia. So, for simplicity's sake, I know there's a northern theory and a southern theory, but for today we're going to stick to that these are the churches that he is writing to. So, I don't know if maybe we're in Iconium today and we're sitting in a church and I'm speaking very loud, but I'm doing it so that you can all hear me. But this is first century church that he's writing to in this part of the world. It's modern day Turkey. You with me? Okay. So we've done the what? We've done the who? Now we're doing the where. When was the letter written? That's another one that's a little bit tricky with this one. But what we can find from the book, let's use the book as evidence. After Paul went out, to Jerusalem to talk with the other apostles, in Galatians 2, 1 to 10, he starts the whole chapter describing his conversion story about when he was converted and how he spent time and when he went up to Jerusalem. Some of you might know that there was something we call the Jerusalem Council, because what happened after Jesus had his apostles, they started preaching to the Jews. But then Paul, as we all remember, on Damascus Road, has this incredible conversion, and he starts preaching to the Gentiles. But he goes up to consult with the other apostles, and there it describes, in chapter 2 of Galatians, it describes how he goes up to talk to the other apostles. If this was the earliest, they did date it to 47 to 48. Well, let's do the clicking. That's easier, Aline. Stick to the script. After Paul had visited the churches in Galatia, it says in Galatians 4:13, it was because of an illness I first preached the gospel to you. So he has been there. So we see it's after he's been to Jerusalem, first, second, third time, and it's after he's been to Galatia to preach the gospel. So the first date is about 48 to 49 AD, but if it was after the second journey, then it's 53 to 57 AD. Big picture here. The thing is, instead of getting hung up on the exact date, I want to challenge you, when you do the study, to focus on the fact that he wrote it to these people, not get so hung up whether it was 47 or 53. Stick to the big picture, but it's a beautiful study if you want to do it. Here is my favorite. What was the atmosphere? What was the mood of this book? You have Paul, who has traveled to these people. He was sick when he came to them. They received him. They listened to him. Then he left. After he left, something happened. And that is the reason for his mood. Let's see his mood. I am astonished. Again, astonished. He's baffled. He's like, what happened here? Have you ever had a leader be astonished by what you just did? It's not a good feeling. More parents. Parents would be astonished. What did you just do? Huh? That's a feeling of a parent. You're surprised. It came out from the left. What just happened? I plead with you. Would you plead with somebody that wasn't important to you? If you don't care, do you plead? You don't care. But if someone's important to you, you plead. Listen to me. This is important. I plead with you. This is beautiful. I'm perplexed about you. Is that a good feeling if someone said they're perplexed about you? Paul is perplexed about the Galatians. Are you getting Paul's heart here? Are you getting that he is, you guys, you surprised me. I'm perplexed. I'm astonished. But can you still hear what I'm trying to tell you? Okay, this is my favorite. Are we in the principal's office here? Mark my words. And there's actually an exclamation mark behind it. He is really, 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 really trying to get the Galatians' attention. Are you doing that for somebody you don't care about? Would you write like that for somebody that you don't bleed for? You wouldn't. This is his spiritual children. This is somebody who one of the best disciples of all time has come to, he has shared with. I'm going to tell you a story. One time I was in the Pacific somewhere, and I was really, really sick. I got hepatitis, which is not a big deal, hepatitis A. But I was really, 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 really sick. And I was a missionary at the time, and I was in this small island called Tonga. I don't know if you've ever been to Tonga. If you haven't been, you should go. It's a beautiful place. It's a flat place with beautiful people. Anyway, I was there. I had hepatitis. I was a nurse, right? And I'd gone to these people to share the love of Jesus with them. But I was so sick. I was so sick. And my mom, who's a nurse, she's in Norway, and she's like, you have hepatitis? And I'm on the other side of the world? And my girl is, and as a mother, she's like sending me an email with this article about hepatitis A. She didn't know what to do. She was freaking out, right? As a parent, I can more understand her now. But you know what happened? These beautiful people. Because basically, hepatitis A, there's not much you can do. You can just wait it out. I had beautiful doctors taking care of me, but your body has to take care of it. I just laid in Tonga, and I was sick. And people from Korea, people from Samoa, people from Tonga, Fiji, America, Germany, they all took care of me. But I invested in that island. I stayed there for 3 years. I started working at a medical clinic. I discipled, I was part of a children's ministry. I met Joelle there for the first time. We sowed into that island. But I was sick there and I survived. I lived there and I sowed and I farmed and I worked at a whole. Tonga is under my skin. When something happened to Tonga, I don't own it, but it's a huge part of me. When something happens to me, I went across the world with some of my Tongan colleagues. We went to Kenya. Any Kenyans here? And we were traveling, and everybody said, "Did you feel? Were you safe? A single girl in Tonga?" I said, "I had 6 Tongan brothers and 3 Fijian brothers stand around me in a circle on the bus, like they were my bodyguards. Wherever I went, they were my bodyguards because I had lived in their island. I had sewed into their island. I had worked in their island, and so they said, yeah, she's white, but she's our sister." What I'm trying to describe to you is when you've sown into somebody with your life, spiritually, like Paul has. Some of you have come to Norway as missionaries to Norway. You're working here. You're sowing into our nation. And I want to challenge you to sow more. Give of yourself. If you get sick, I will bring watermelon to you. I will come to your house, because that's what happened to me when I was sick. But there is something that happens when you sow into a nation, like Paul did on his missionary journeys. And I know it's hard, and as a Norwegian, I want to ask you forgiveness for every offense that Norwegian ignorant, rude people will do, because I know there are a lot. Don't laugh. I know that Norwegians, I know that we forget to say please, and we stretch out our arms, and we do a lot of weird things. But you're here for a reason. I always say this when I'm given a mic and microphone in SIC, but it's so important to me that this season that you are here, sow. Everything that God has given to you. But that is why you can use this kind of language. Because when you have sowed, and when you have offered, and when you have toiled with someone, and when you have given, we don't know how close Paul was to death in that situation when he was sick, but you have walked a mile with someone, then you can say this, because it's out of passion, it's out of love, it's out of, I want you to get this. I know I'm using a lot of effort here, but it's the heartbeat of the book of Galatians. It's Paul's love for the churches in Galatia. It's not an executive email that he's writing from the principal's office. Come on, Galatians, you can do better. It's Jesus did this for you. It's enough. Are you hearing me, Galatians? Galatians, are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. Again, back to literature. When you read the Word of God and you look at the exclamation marks and you read it out loud and you hear the tone of voice, the Word comes alive. Oops. Who was in power? It's important to think about these things when we also look at the Word of God. And I've mentioned the Roman soldiers. The Roman Empire was stretched out over all of Turkey and modern-day Europe. And the Romans, we know, remember, they've just 50 years earlier, crucified Jesus. They were the colonizing power. They were authoritative, and they did not like the Christian groups that were springing up all over. They thought when they killed Jesus that the Christians were out the door, right? And then they're spreading? What's this? They're like, they were in Jerusalem, and now they're like, what, the Gentiles? They're not even Jews. The Romans are not getting it, but they don't like it. So they're patrolling the streets, and they're keeping an eye on these Christians. And wait, are you hearing some? Are they praying? Wait, is this Christians gathering? So they had to be really aware of where they were, what they said. Remember the symbol of the fish? A lot of you guys know this, one of the symbols of the fish that the first Christian used. They gathered, they hid. So this is also the backdrop of this book. Now we're talking about religious power, and we've did the book of Ephesians in the spring, and some of you might remember the Judaizers. The Judaizers is just a term for the people that upheld the Jewish laws and said, in order for you to become a Christian, you need to uphold the law. So they insisted here on some of the practices like circumcision, but as we know, that is just one of the laws, right? There was a whole list from the Old Testament that we can read. And they were also here. I brought this in. They were questioning Paul's authenticity as an apostle. Because remember, he had been one of the persecutors before. And now he changed sides. And what's the easiest political, religious, who are you? You're changing sides. Who are you to preach? Why should we trust you, right? So that is why Paul is so staunch on his credibility. Who am I? Who sent me? Who commissioned me? Who is this message from? And so that's why through the whole book, he's stating back again and again who he is. I've given you a little bit of a backdrop, but what I really, 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 I ask the very simple, what is the book about, who wrote the book, where are we in the world, and who are the people involved, who are the groups or the stakeholders in this book. But what's the big challenge for us is to take this book of Galatians into 2018. And that's the wonderful thing that we're going to do this fall. And so I don't want to give us too many things on this slide because I would love to hear what comes out when we have a sharing time in November, what God has spoken to you, what God has spoken to the cell groups, what God has taught you through this book. But just for the sake of the backdrop, because one of the big contrasts in the book is the contrast between being free and being a slave. And when I say slave, a lot of our mind goes to the slaves that were brought to America from Africa. But we all know that slavery is a lot older than that. And so I'm just going to read a little bit about the Roman Empire, because the whole civilization in Rome was built on slaves. So we need to understand that when they talked about slavery in the Galatian church, there was most likely slaves listening because they all had slaves in their house. And they gathered in someone's house. So for a slave to hear what Christ came to do to set us free, can you imagine what kind of sermon that would be? But then you take the term of slavery larger than just being a slave, that we were all slaves to sin. And to hear, be a slave, and to hear a sermon that says your master is a slave. Now the mind is spinning. What kind of gospel is this? Right? This is mind-blowing, huge stuff for the first century church. So when we read the Word of God, try to put yourself in their place. Try to go to the Galatian church. Try to listen in. What would this mean to a first century slave? What would this word, and what does it mean to me today? Because we need to understand who were the original hearers of this letter. Who were there at this reading? And what's truth? What are the truths that we can take with us into 2018? And I just put this up there because, do you know any Galatians? What does that mean? Do I know any Galatians? If we say that the Judaizers, I don't know if you remember when I talked about the Easter message and I talked about the Pharisees that were so eager to uphold their Jewish tradition that they saw Jesus as a large enough threat to kill him. And we are so mad at the Pharisees, but we have to realize that all they were doing was trying to protect what they knew as truth. Do you see that? And this is the same thing that the Judaizers were doing now. They had this much understanding, and all they were trying to do very fiercely, wherever Paul went and shared the gospel and the true gospel of, should I give it away? No, you have to go and read the book. The true gospel, the Judaizers came the next day and they're like, you guys, that's wonderful what Paul shared, but remember the law? Remember circumcision, all that other stuff? Remember? Then you're covered. You've covered all your bases. What I mean by Galileans is if we are not strong enough in our faith in 2018, and then somebody comes up with a new bright idea about, yeah, that church stuff and Sunday and all that, that's great. But how about we do something else on top of that? Or how about we just tweak it a little bit? And then you're like, sure. On Sunday, you hear one thing, you're strong, you're confident. On Monday, you're like, not so important. What did he say? He was astonished on how quickly they deserted the gospel. and then Judaizers. Do we know someone that's so staunch on protecting what they have understood that if the Spirit reveals something to them, they're really afraid? Like, if you don't worship my way, and that takes, that's a journey. And we all are going to respect different ways of worship. I have to be really careful what I say now. But what I really want to affirm, our church and the Word and the Christians all over the world, is chapter 5 and 6 of the book of the Galatians. Because it's worship in the Spirit. It's a powerful, powerful book, guys. If SIC gets a hold of this book of Galatians, whew, very powerful stuff. And basically, my professor, he called it the Bible in a nutshell. If you get the book of Galatians, you can disciple new believers anywhere in the world. I know I'm not giving away a lot of the book, and it's intentional. This is a cliffhanger, people. Are you with me? Yes. Okay. I know that I have to apologize again to all the scholars in here, because the dating of the book is important to some people. I'm not going to make it as important today, because we need to remember, whenever we read the Word of God, to listen to the big picture. What is the heartbeat of God for the Galatians? What is the heartbeat of God for SIC, for the city of Stavanger, for wherever He's going to send you this year? Okay, we need to remember that He wants to speak to us. His word is living and active. So when you listen, listen with your ear and with your heart to the heartbeat of God in this book. And so my challenge to everybody this week is to go home and do this as a couple. This is a fun exercise. If you don't have a couple, if you don't have a other half, find another half, read it with someone. A good friend is perfect. And read it out loud. Because when you read the Word of God out loud, you read it like the first church did. A lot of time we have a tendency to go to the Word of God and read one verse, and we're very happy. That's like seeing 1 minute of a movie. We don't do that. Well, sometimes we do that. And then sometimes we fall asleep in the middle of the movie. I know. But my whole heart and intention behind this is to read the scripture, the letter, from the beginning to the end, so that you get the big picture. Because unless you get the big picture, then you're missing the whole heartbeat. Okay? And it's very easy to get offended if you just read one scripture and then you're like, what? Read the whole scripture, the whole book out loud. It only takes you, I think it's 13 minutes to read the whole book out loud. If you need somebody to read with, if you don't have anyone, just come and talk to me. I'll come and read with you, okay? We have a deal? Okay. We just pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are living and alive, and that you want to teach us through your word. Father, Paul was commissioned by you. He was sent by you, and the revelation that he got was from you. So, Father, through Paul's journey, through the Galatians' journey, teach us, mold us, speak to us, and inspire us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, wife.
You're welcome, husband.
Now, just very quickly, in this coming Sundays, we are going to be talking about the book of Galatians. We are going to cover two Sundays.